This Labor and Commerce Committee to order. Today is Monday, February 20th. Let the record reflect the time is 3:15 p.m. Today we have President Representative Prox, Representative Fields, Vice Chair Representative Ruffridge, Representative Carrick, and myself, Chair Sumner. The staff that will be assisting us today are Jordan Wright with House Records, Talia Eames, did I say that right? Ames? Yeah. With the LIO and my staff, Clark Bickford, Committee Aide to House Labor and Commerce. Today we have a first bill hearing on House Bill 75, a bill at the request of the governor. Asks you to hold questions until the presentation is finished. Plan to hear this and hold it for a future date. Starting with House Bill 75, Director Lori Winghire from Division of Insurance is here to present this bill. Please approach and start your presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Lori Winghire. I'm the Director of the Division of Insurance for the State of Alaska, and I'm here this afternoon to talk to you about HB 75 for owner-controlled and contractor-controlled insurance programs. A little bit of history here might help. So in the state of Alaska, in current statute, projects that are over $50 million have a defined location, geographic location, and a defined time frame are eligible for what we call an OSIP, an owner-controlled insurance program, or a contractor-controlled insurance program. What this is on major construction projects is that the owner or the general contractor, in some cases, buys the insurance for all the contractors and subcontractors on the project. Usually it's general liability, professional liability, and workers' compensation. It can be auto, but it rarely is because autos then go off the site, and there's a concern when they go off the site, and it has to be a defined geographic site. These have been used for TAPS. They have been used for some parts of the Anchorage Airport, International Airport. And they're a good way for the contractor to control costs because then they have the clout of all the payroll or all the receipts when purchasing insurance, and to avoid unnecessary litigation in the fact that when you go to determine who is at fault in an accident, it doesn't really matter because it's one insurance policy and you're all insured. So there's a limit of subrogation. Last year, when we were looking ahead at what major projects might be coming up with our Assistant Attorney General that is assigned for the division, we noticed a sentence in SB 21 that he thought we needed to amend. We went back to 2005 when this bill was passed, or the bill was passed that enacted this part of the statute, and he thought that the way it addressed additional insureds, which the contractors and subs would be if the owner buys all the insurance, it needed to be clarified. Now, I can tell you that my first attempt in the bill you have before you is probably not the bill you're going to see. There will be an amendment. When the bill was introduced on the House and the Senate side, I did receive some phone calls that they thought that language was confusing, and we went back, and we do have an amendment that will be coming up that further defines or clarifies how an additional insured works. And that, sir, is what HB 75 is. It's just clarifying. So in the event we have a large construction project coming up, it could be ConocoWillow. It could be the pickup project. It could be the gas line. Any of these projects that if and when they go forward and they come to us and say we want to do an OSIP, we know we're in the right place, that our statute's the way it should be. And that, sir, is my presentation on HB 75.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Director Winghire? Representative Prox.
Yes, thank you. Through the chair, this is a good idea. First, $50 million is the threshold, as I understand it currently.
Through the chair, that is correct.
Would it be worthwhile to think about lowering that, or is that a whole separate issue?
Through the chair, you could certainly lower it. I think there are some projects that would appreciate that, but we did not look at that when we were putting this bill forward. We looked at where we thought there was a problem, not on if it needed to be done a little bit further as far as lowering the limit.
Okay. That might, through the chair, that would maybe be a worthwhile conversation at some point, as long as we're doing this.
Any other questions? No? Okay. Seeing none, thank you, Director Winghire.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So we will hold this until a future date. We had a amendment deadline for HB 46 by Representative Field set for last Friday. Received a few amendments that we will discuss now. Starting with amendment number one from Representative Fields.
I'll move amendment one.
Okay.
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Thanks. And this is just a technical fix. Child care program office is in the Department of Health, not the Department of Family and Community Services.
Representative Brock, through the chair, I'm guessing that you have talked to the various departments and they're on board with this change.
Yes, through the chair, there's no doubt where the program, it was just a drafting error as this was being drafted amidst the reshuffling of departments. That's all.
Okay. I'll remove my objection. Okay. Thank you.
And so seeing no other objections, amendment number one passes. We have an amendment number two by Representative Fields.
I move amendment two.
Object.
Thanks. So for members of the committee, I think the chair and Representative Ruffridge gave me some feedback that we should just be honest with ourselves. And if we're in, you know, empower the providers with a sectoral bargaining structure, the benefits of that will materialize when we invest a little bit more. And I agree with that. So this is because we're not the finance committee. This is some intent language. And I picked a figure, $15 million, that is aligns with the Child Care Coalition of Alaska, one of the advocacy groups we heard from. This is a little lower figure than Thread testified to us about, but I kind of see this amendment as just being honest with people that, you know, if we're going to make change in this sector, it will cost some money. This is a fairly modest amount, and again, this amendment was basically the suggestion of a couple members of the committee, and that's why I wanted to put it forward.
So any comment on the amendment? Representative Prox?
Yes, thank you. Through the chair, conceptually, this would enable various businesses to contribute to a fund and get a tax reduction for that, and that would be sort of part of at least the funding for the program.
Through the chair, that's actually the next amendment. This amendment is saying it is the committee's. Yes. So in the underlying bill, we authorize a child care trust fund. In the underlying bill, we don't put a dollar figure on that because I kind of figured the finance committee will do that. Of course, it will remain in the finance committee's prerogative to do that. But I think with this amendment, we're just being honest with ourselves that, hey, it's going to cost some money if we're going to capitalize a child care trust fund. So I do support being honest with ourselves about that. And we'll get to that tax credit next.
Okay, right. I couldn't read. I thought two meant four, or four meant two. So this is a one-time. Through the chair, this is a one-time appropriation that we're proposing to capitalize the fund.
Through the chair, yes. And my theory with the Child Care Trust Fund is that when we have volatile revenues, as we do with the price of a resource, in flush years it might make sense to build up a fund, and in lean years it might not.
Representative Ruffridge?
Thank you, Chair Sumner. And through the chair to Representative Fields, thank you for bringing forward this amendment. I certainly have some concerns overall with the appropriation of $15 million, given our current structural deficit in the state. However, in the interest of being honest with what the bill has as its intent, which is to allow collective bargaining for child care workers, that the intent is to have there be no increase in cost to parents of children in the state, and realistically, with collective bargaining, unless there is some sort of subsidy, I believe that the cost for parents may actually increase. And so in the interest of that honesty, I think that this is a good amendment as far as going along with the intent of the bill. However, I do still share concerns about how we appropriate that those monies, but we'll certainly be supporting the amendment to the bill as written.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to oppose this amendment. I don't feel it's appropriate to put to advocate funding levels in intent language. This is the first time I've ever heard $15 million referred to as modest. That's a big chunk of money. And I would just say, for the record, we are always honest with ourselves. No need to emphasize that point. Thank you.
Okay. There is objection. Please call the roll.
Representative Crofts.
Yes.
Representative Ruffridge.
Yes.
Representative Sadler.
No.
Representative Fields.
Yes.
Representative Carrick.
Yes.
And Chair Sumner.
Yes. And so with five yeas and one nay, amendment number two passes. So we have amendment number three from myself, Chair Sumner, and Representative Fields. I will
brief at ease.
So we'll be back on the record. So I was saying I will not be offering amendment number three. Amendment number four from Representative Fields.
I move amendment four.
Okay, seeing no objection, amendment number four.
I will object.
There is objection.
Thank you. being as how this is a rather lengthy, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 17, 18-page amendment, I'd like to hear more about it, please.
Glad to hear the level of consensus on this amendment early on. So this amendment actually was the idea of multiple people, both Representative Ruffridge and the DOH commissioner, as I've been talking with the department over a period of months and, of course, talking with committee members. And both Representative Ruffridge and the commissioner asked basically, hey, how do we incentivize more private businesses to invest in childcare? And I said, well, we actually wrote up a bill on that last session. And so we took the framework of that bill, which fits within the educational tax credit structure. And that amendment is what you see before you. And the concept is pretty simple. You know, if we have some businesses that are C-Corps paying taxes and I think we want them to invest in child care facility, both on their premises and they might, those businesses, kind of to a point that Representative Prox made in a previous hearing, those businesses might want to put some of their money to support more available child care for their employees. That would be a good thing. And this amendment would help incentivize them to do that. So I think, you know, if this amendment is adopted, the bill becomes a little bit more of an omnibus child care reform bill. And I like that because I think there are multiple credible ways that we could strengthen the child care sector. And I think this is a good idea. It wasn't really my idea, but I very much support it. And that's why I'm offering the amendment.
Question to the maker of the amendment.
Representative Sadler.
Sponsor. We can't expect a fiscal note for an amendment, but being as how this is largely your previous legislation, what was the fiscal note for that legislation that is now being introduced into this legislation?
Through the chair, I don't have that in front of me, Representative Sadler, but as I recall, the department had a hard time projecting how many employers would take us up on this on this opportunity. And therefore, as I recall, it was indeterminate.
Okay.
Representative Sadler.
So looking on page 9, line 22, I see that again, without having the opportunity to look thoroughly, this would raise the amount of credits envisioned from $1 million to $3 million, which would be a net decrease in state tax receipts of $2 million. Is that a fair analysis of this?
The intent of the amendment, yes, is for that $3 million threshold to apply for the child care facilities.
Which would deprive the state of $2 million in tax income?
Yes.
Reallocate.
Through the chair, yes. This would represent a foregone revenue for those businesses that invest in child care.
Thank you.
Any other comments on the amendment? Representative Prox.
Well, thank you, Chair Sumner. I like this puts the whole program in a direction I like, I favor. And I think with the other, with amendment number two, I have got some reservations about creating, if you will, a new state responsibility. But if we can think about this enough, I think there certainly is an urgent need for straightening out child care. And if we can put some seed money in that would encourage businesses to take it over, I think we're heading in the right direction. So I'm in favor of the amendment.
Representative Ruffridge.
Thank you, Chair Sumner. I tend to agree with Representative Prox. I also have some concerns about the overall fiscal impact of the Child Trust Fund, and certainly wish to have some further discussions about that. However, I would like to thank the maker of the amendment for bringing this forward. I think that having private industry be responsible for and encouraged to provide assistance on behalf of their employees and then have the incentive to do so is certainly a step in the right direction to help solve a somewhat urgent need. And I think that this is certainly worthy of further investigation, and we'll be supporting this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Carrick.
I just have a brief process question through the chair to the maker of the amendment. The previous amendment number three that wasn't offered, did that have the $3 million figure in there as well? Or I guess could you elaborate a little bit on the difference between the amendment that was not offered and this one?
Sure. I think there was a just an issue with maybe some confusing numbering, handwritten numbering on the top of the amendments, and actually the not offered amendment three was actually on a different subject. So that's all it is.
So I'd address that. There was a unoffered amendment that, so yeah. This is the amendment four, okay. Essentially.
Sure.
Representative Sattler.
Mr. Chair, I can count. I withdraw my objection.
Okay. Without objection, amendment number four passes. So that concludes our business for today. We will be holding House Bill 46 over. And seeing no other business before the committee, we will adjourn. Let the record reflect the time is 3:34 p.m.